Lord. I'd have enough to pray about right there. Amen. But I believe that the Lord's going to help us tonight. If you got it, say amen. Amen. I think that's almost everybody. We're going to start in verse 4 and 5, and then we're going to skip down to verse 15 and read through verse 21. Exodus 16, verse 4, it says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." I skip down to verse 15. It says, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it, every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Amen. Let's pray one more time before we go any further. Lord, we ask you to anoint your word right now. Lord, anoint our ears, Lord, to be able to hear it. Lord, anoint our hearts, Lord, to be able to receive it. Lord, that it would be a seed that goes down inside and that it would begin to take root. God, Lord, we don't want to be people that just hear your word but then never apply it. Holy Ghost, we ask that you would go before your word right now. Lord, begin to prepare our hearts. Lord, convict us of the things that we need to make right. Lord, minister to us, Lord, in the places that we're struggling and we need your help and we need your grace and your mercy, Lord, to bring us up. God, and we know that you're able to do all of these things. Lord, it's not something that's too much for you tonight. We want you to have your way in this service. God, anoint your word tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is a familiar passage of Scripture here tonight. Talking about the bread, talking about the manna that the children of Israel ate in the wilderness. And I can remember back to the first time that I heard about the manna in Sunday school. I remember being amazed that God sent bread that just appeared on the ground, and they would go out and they'd pick it up, and then it would disappear, and then they'd go out the next day and it'd be there again, and then they'd just do it all the same again. I was like, wow. And then I remember thinking, I wonder if they ever got tired of manna. And then I came back the next week and I found out, yeah, they did. They got tired of manna. They didn't like it anymore. Eating the same thing every day. And so it's familiar to us, but we got to look at a little bit of the background of how Israel got to this place. God had visited his people. He had called out a leader, his leader Moses, to go and get his people out of Egypt where they were slaves. They didn't have anyone to organize them. They didn't know their own power. They were in bondage. They couldn't make it out on their own. But God said, I'm going to deliver my people. I'm going to use Moses to do it. And so he brought them out of the greatest nation, the greatest superpower that the world had ever seen at that time. There had never been a greater nation than Egypt, but God said, I'm going to show that I am for my people and that my people can trust me by how I bring them out and away from the Egyptians. And just looking, I was listening to some teachers talking about this week, talking about Moses and just how God has almost a sense of humor that when Pharaoh says, I'm going to destroy all the baby boys, he said, good, I'm going to give you one to raise yourself, and he's going to be the one that ends up destroying all of your nation. Because God, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. I know there's a lot of turmoil politically, a lot of turmoil in other nations around, but it doesn't matter who's on the throne of those nations. God is more powerful. He's able to bring out. He's able to restore. He's able to deliver. That's what he's doing for his people, Israel, right here. And not only did he bring them out, but a lot of times people forget that the Lord commanded them to go to their neighbors and borrow gold and silver to take out with them whenever Pharaoh told them to go. So now this slave nation that they come out, some people estimate almost 2 million people, women, men, and children included, that come out, and this is slave nation that it's not just delivered, but they're rich. God brings them out with riches. And then they come to the Red Sea and they're wondering, God, how you just brought us out here and now we don't know what's going to happen. And then God parts the Red Sea, blows a hole in it wide open for them to be able to walk across on dry ground. And then they get through all of that and they get to the other side, and then all of a sudden they get a little bit hungry, and then they get angry, which I'm sure that some of y'all do the same thing, that you get hungry and everything just falls apart. And they're wondering if God's going to provide for them after they just saw him send all the plagues. After they just saw him bless them with riches. After they just saw him part the Red Sea for them to walk across. After they've just been miraculously delivered. And then they wonder, is God able to sustain us? But before we begin to cast blame on them, which I know even I do a lot of the time, I'm like, how could y'all be that, you know, impatient? How could you be that distrusting of God and his character after you've witnessed all these things? But a lot of times in our lives, we forget that we've been delivered. We forget that we've been brought out. And then all of a sudden something happens in our lives and we're wondering, Lord, how can you provide for us in this situation? God, are you going to provide now? Lord, are you going to still be just as good as you were to us whenever you were bringing us out of Egypt? Because the Bible, it talks about Egypt. When it mentions Egypt, it mentions it as a type of the world, of God bringing his children out of the world. We've been rescued out of the world. And then we learn in the New Testament that Jesus is one who is greater than Moses, a deliverer greater than Moses. And it even says in the New Testament that one greater than Moses has come. And he's our deliverer. And we've seen him move in our lives. And we've seen him bless. And we've seen him deliver us out of all of our distresses and tribulations and troubles and trials. And then we come to another one and we forget, God, are you going to be able to provide just like you have in the past? And we begin murmuring. We begin complaining, wondering, is God going to be just as faithful as he was then? I'll go ahead and give you the title of my message. After all that, it's yesterday's bread is today's compromise. And we'll get into this text and understand that a little bit further. But now that after he gives them the provision, he tells them, I'm going to give you the provision. I'm going to give you manna. I'm going to give you bread to eat. But when I give you this bread, it's going to come with some rules. And the rules are you get as much as you can eat for that day and no more. Except on Saturday, or except on Friday, that you go out and you gather twice as much. That way you can rest on the Sabbath. And you don't get any more. But still, after people see this bread show up on the ground that wasn't there before, that the Bible describes it as wafers with honey. This miracle bread that just shows up. Some of them were still just trusting and gathered more than what Moses and what God had commanded them to gather. They're greedy with that provision that they got to heap it to themselves because they think, I wonder if it'll show up again tomorrow. And we see the whole reason that God sent them this manna. He says right there in verse 5, I'm going to send them. I'm going to provide for my children. I'm going to give them rules for this provision to what? Right there, verse 4, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Because a lot of times the way that the Lord blesses your life, if you're faithful with it or not, proves your love for him. Because a lot of times what God's doing here is he's breaking them of that slave mentality that they had in the Egypt. And what his children, what we have today as Christians, what we had in the world. That slave mentality that whatever I get, I've got to get it for myself and I've got to make sure I have enough because nobody else is going to provide for me. He's teaching them that you're no longer slaves, you're my children. Children don't beg their fathers to give them bread. Children don't go out and say, oh, I wonder if my father's going to be able to provide for me today. We just know my father loves me. He cares for me. He's going to provide for me what I need. We're often like them. He gave them rules to follow. Don't gather more. Because anything that they gathered over from the day before, the Bible says, it bred worms and it began to stink. How many times do we do that with some of the spiritual experiences of our lives? That we hold on to them so tightly. Something that God did for us in the past that was great for that moment, but now we hold on to it and we almost worship as God. I hope that you'll be able to do this again. When God says in His Word that is His will for us to go from glory to glory. But we hold on to the old provision when God moves in a service and we're getting everything that we can. Because when God moves, you better get all that you can in the service. But sometimes we have that mentality. I don't know when you're going to do it again, God. I don't know if it's going to be 2 months or if it's going to be 2 years or if it's going to be tomorrow. And so I got to get all that I can right now. That's a slave mentality, friend. Yes, the Lord wants to bless you in that moment. I'm not saying He doesn't want to bless you in that moment. But He's got provision for Monday morning just like He does on Sunday night. He's got provision on Tuesday afternoon whenever you're needing Him again at work and something's coming up. He's got provision on Wednesday evening and midday on Thursday. He has provision all the time, friend. We don't have to hoard it. Because a lot of times, what do? Well, sometimes we wake up and say, oh, well, I prayed good enough yesterday. That'll make it for today. No, friend, yesterday's bread is today's compromise. Because we wake up and we're once again presented with the question, are we going to trust God for what we need today? Are we going to trust Him to be able to provide what He said He would for today? Am I going to gather like God told me to gather for today and trust Him to send it? I remember I was talking to a pastor one time, and he was sharing with me some of his personal experiences, and he was talking about this business that he was running. It was kind of on the side. It wasn't like a bivocation or anything like that, but kind of on the side to make a little bit more money to be able to, him and his family be able to live well. And he was talking about how 1 year that the Lord just richly blessed that business. 5 times as much as he had ever made in the past on that little side business that he had to keep going. And he said whenever it happened, at the end of the year, he said, I told my wife, he said, this isn't what we can expect. This isn't something that's going to be sustained. It's just a series of fortunate circumstances that happened to go our way. It was kind of a glitch in the matrix. So we need to take that and we need to save it for a rainy day and we need to put it back. And he said, immediately, even as I began to speak those words, he said, the Holy Spirit began to convict my heart and said, how dare you call my blessings on your life a glitch? And he said, as soon as I heard that, he said, I began to repent of everything that I had just told my wife and everything that I had just said in my heart. And he said, as a result of that, he said, I just reinvested everything that I had made that previous year back into that business to build it up more and to improve some things and buy some new stuff and to make sure that it was able to be bigger. And the next year, God sent the blessing again. And so I'm not saying that's exactly what's going on in your life. I don't know if that situation applies directly to you or not. But friend, we all have some things in our lives that we hold on to it in a greedy manner. We say, God, are you able to move like you did back then? Or do I have to keep on holding on to what you did right now? Because whenever things are not flowing in our lives, friend, a river that does not flow is a swamp. Swamps begin to stink eventually. Why? Because everything's flowing in, but nothing's flowing out. There's no progression. There's no movement. And I remember when I heard that story, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not exactly name it and claim it and you know, charismatic and things like that. I said, but there's some serious scriptural principles in that right there. That when the Lord blesses you, do you trust Him enough to be able to do it again? And that was Him being real personal with me and sharing an experience and Him trying to help me along. But I'm thankful for that experience. Because a lot of times what we do in our spiritual lives is we become spiritual gluttons for a day on Sunday and then try to make it the rest of the week. And if we came to, if physically, we said, you know what, I think I'm going to have a very busy week. I had a busy week last week myself. But we come to the beginning of a week and we say, I'm going to have a very busy week. So you know what, to save time and to save some effort, I'm just going to go ahead, I'm going to eat all of my meals on Sunday. That way I don't have to eat during the week at all. The problem with that is some of us would be hungry again by Monday. And then we realize physically that's a very bad idea because you're going to get sick. That's not the way that's supposed to work. You wake up, you eat some breakfast. At midday, you eat some lunch. At the end of the day, you eat some dinner. Why? Because you eat just enough to keep you going. You eat too much, you're going to feel sick. You're not going to be able to work and do what you need to. If you don't eat enough, you're not going to be able to perform at your top level of what how you're able to work. But spiritually, sometimes we act like that, don't we? That I'm going to gorge on things right now so that later in my life, maybe I'll have enough left in the tank when I inhabit or when I encounter a problem later on. When the Lord has intended this to be a daily walk, that we don't hoard it back and let it begin to stink and let what God is doing in our lives today, because what he's doing in our lives today, it's things that we need. It's not bad things, but whenever we allow ourselves to only hold on to that and not look to what he's doing in the future, it becomes a compromise the further and further that it goes along. Jesus, even in the New Testament, he begins to speak along some of these lines. When in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, his disciples ask him, Lord, how are we supposed to pray? Now, if the Lord only gives us one prayer to pray in the Bible, when he's asked, how do you pray? And he only gives us one, we ought to pay attention to that one, shouldn't we? And he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread. Now that right there, this prayer that he gives us, since we are to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, that indicates that this is a prayer that is meant to be prayed daily. Now, sometimes I think about that daily bread almost as like a military ration that you get. You know, everybody gets the same thing every single day, and you just go on your way. But it's more along the lines of what this manna was. That when you need more, what happens if an Israelite is hungrier? He worked hard in the field, or it was a hard day in the desert traveling around, and all of a sudden the next day he's a little bit hungrier than he was the night before. He says, he that gathered more, he didn't have any left over. He that gathered little, he had no lack. It was just enough. This daily bread, it's bread that you need for that day. That day that you're experiencing right then. You say, Seth, how do you know that? Because later on in the chapter, he talks about a daily provision of bread in the first part, and then later on at the end of the chapter, he says, take no thought, therefore, to tomorrow, for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, that's not a very encouraging verse that's going to make us stand up and run around the church. Hallelujah, we're going to have trouble and evil every single day of our lives. That's real encouraging there, Jesus. Thank you very much. But he's already told us, earlier on in the chapter, just like hell has an agenda, just like hell has an attack plan for your life every single day that is coming after you, he says you can pray this prayer that there is a supernatural, special, heavenly provision that comes from your Father in heaven that you pray to that will be enough for that day. It's enough, friend. Are we going to be able to trust him? That whatever we encounter on a daily basis, and we know how our days change on a day-to-day basis. Do we think that the Lord is ignorant of those changes? Do we think that the Lord is ignorant of those things that we're experiencing? No, he's well acquainted. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Because he was every way tempted like as a man. He understands. Some days are easy, some days are difficult. Some days are extremely difficult. This tragedy that's happened overseas, I can't even begin to comment on how that family must be experiencing it, on how those people in Haiti must be experiencing it. But the Lord knew that day was going to come. And he has provision specially laid out for that family. And that's what we pray for every single day, because we know this is something that is way beyond our control. I wouldn't even dare to offer any words of encouragement because I know that they would fall so short of what the Lord will be able to do in their life. And so we pray, Lord, minister to them right now. What do you do in that situation? What do you lean on? What do you trust in? And I pray that it's not something that all of us will be experiencing, but I know that's something that's weighing heavily on our minds right now as a church body. Seems like the whole church world is kind of groaning with this situation right now. But at different situations in our lives that we know we need the Lord to be able to help us, he says, are you going to be able to trust me? Are you going to be able to lean on me as a father that is able to provide for you? You go a little bit further on in the New Testament, you get into John chapter 6 and verse 47. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But this bread, which cometh down from heaven, that a man eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So now Jesus clarifies it even more. And so now it's not the question whether or not we're going to trust God to be able to provide for us. It's whether or not we're just going to be able to trust him. Because he's already given us everything that we need in his son. Oh, that God would give us a revelation to realize that absolutely everything that we need in this life is connected to him, that he says of himself, I am that bread that has come down from heaven. And if any man eat thereof, he will have life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that he has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Everything that we need, friend, is in him. And that's not just something that we say that becomes cliche at church. That's not just something that Christians say, oh yes, we're dependent totally on him. But when I pray that God would give us a deeper and a special revelation tonight to be able to realize how dependent we really are on him. That he would open our eyes to see how he's moving in our lives each and every single day. That we will begin to trust him for the different provisions that he's making in our lives, how he's moving in ways that we don't even see, how we're able to trust him to be everything that we need in absolutely every situation that we face, to not let the things and the events that have transpired in our lives be idols and monuments that we set up and hold on to, and we don't let anything else move in our life, but that every single day we'd come before him and say, God, I need that daily bread once again. Lord, I need that daily provision once again. And we'll find out that exactly like the children of Israel experienced there in the wilderness, that every single day that they woke up, they were able to walk outside. And they'd see it again. Yep, he provided again. That we'd know him like he reveals himself in the Old Testament as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Friend, this is something that God has revealed about himself. Something that he says about himself. I am the God that will provide. Amen. You can go ahead and come to the piano tonight. And in this altar call, I thought it would be good if each and every single one of us would just come to the altar tonight. And first, that we would pray, Lord, reveal to me the areas of my heart and of my life where I'm not trusting you like I should. Reveal to me the areas of my life that I'm being greedy of trying to hoard up the blessings that I can be experiencing every single day. The things that I'm trying to hold on to and control myself rather than trusting you to be the God of it and to provide for that situation. And then after we pray that prayer and the Lord has revealed those things to our heart, that we begin to pray, Lord, help me be able to trust you more. And I'll close with this. The psalmist said that I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why is that? He's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Friend, whenever we come before God tonight, we don't have to get down on our knees and beg him to do something that he's already promised that he's going to do. We simply reach out and say, Lord, you said that you would send this. Lord, you said that you would be my provider. Lord, you said that you would provide for me what I need. His children don't beg. Why? It's in the verse. It's his seed, his children, in other words. Children don't have to beg their father tonight. I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know what you're dealing with right now. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. The Lord has what you have need of tonight, friend. And not just that he can provide, but that he will provide. Can we all stand to our feet this evening? Amen. Can we begin to make our